There's a better place to get your podcast. GCNlive.com. Hundreds of thousands of hours. Archived for your listening pleasure. All free at GCNlive.com.
The Sons of Liberty is a politically neutral organization. We believe that the Judeo-Christian ethic has provided the principles upon which this nation was founded. It is our belief that these principles provide not only the foundation and framework for American government and society, but are also essential to the maintenance of a fair and just society. All program content is based on a Christian biblical worldview.
Welcome back. This is Tim Brown. I'm the editor of SonsOfLibertyMedia.com, filling in for Bradley today, live from the bunker in the U.S.-occupied state of South Carolina, and it is about to thunder. Thank God for the rain. We need to cool off here a little bit. And we're joined today by Lieutenant Commander Don Brown. He's an unashamed disciple of Jesus Christ, a former Navy JAG officer and author of nearly a dozen books, including his latest called Call Sign Extortion 17, The Shootdown of SEAL Team 6. Now, before we went to break, Don was speaking about the seven unknown, and they are still unknown, Afghanis who were aboard Extortion 17 with our special operators. They were aboard that flight who were taken down, but yet their names do not appear on the manifest. And I told Don during the break that what I wanted to share with you was something that, to me, a lot of this begins to really put a light on what I think both of us would agree is a cover-up. And that is, there was another Navy SEAL, Michael Strange, and his father, Charles, had obtained a copy of Michael's autopsy report and photographs of his body, which showed no signs of fire damage. Yet, there were several of these men who were cremated, and they were told they were cremated because their bodies were so badly burned. Now, we know that some of them were. Some of them were aboard the helicopter, and it was obviously on fire, but there were many bodies that were outside of the helicopter that were not. And what Charles Strain said was, there's nothing wrong with the body except for his ankle. But they claimed everybody was burned beyond recognition, yet there he was lying there whole and intact. His hair and his arms weren't burned, and there was no sign of smoke in his lungs. When I called the command up and asked them about this, they seemed shocked that I had the photo. They told me, we'll get back to you, but they never did. And he asked, why did they cremate my boy? We are Christians and do not believe in cremation. There was no reason for them to do that. Now, Don, we were talking last week, and there's some other issues that go on post-crash. We'll deal with, well, why don't we just take it from there. When they send in a group, they're called the Pathfinders. They're there to pretty much secure the area and things of that nature. And can you go from that and then kind of deal with us, give us some of the details about the autopsy reports you looked at and the bullets and the bodies and things of this nature?
I'll be happy to. U.S. Army Pathfinders are a specialized group, and they're very brave, and they play a very, very crucial role to the mission of the military. They were the first group in Normandy. They go back a long way, and they went in the night before, dropped in, and were marking landing spots. So the Pathfinders will go in ahead of time and mark landing spots, and then they also go in, you know, if a chopper or a plane has gone down, they go in, and their job is to try to help secure and to try to help gather evidence. At 4:12 a.m., this chopper went down at almost 2:40 a.m. local time, 2:39:48 to be precise. At 4:12 a.m., according to General Colt, U.S. Army Rangers first secured the site, and 3 minutes later at 4:15 a.m., U.S. Army Pathfinders landed. They were brought in on a Black Hawk, and by the way, were given pre-suppression fire into the landing zone, as they should have been given, whereas the SEALs got no pre-suppression fire. Now, they were given an order and that order was to go look for the black box. And I'll get to that just in a second. They were told, and it's been almost two days looking for it. But in terms of the bodies found, you mentioned Michael Strange and his father, Charles, and I've talked to Charles also, a great guy from Philadelphia, wonderful American. And he's seen Michael's body. But the Pathfinders testified under oath to something. Now, remember, the military made the statement on August the 9th. Lieutenant Colonel David Lapin, who was the military, the Pentagon spokesman at the time, said, due to the nature of this crash, there are no identifiable remains. This is what they said that was put out. And Charles had been told that Michael's body was cremated. However, when this report got out, mysteriously, over a month after that statement was made, when some of us started to read it, there's sworn testimony from the Pathfinders that at least eight friendly KIAs, those are our guys, at least eight of our guys were found on the ground, not just Michael, but found on the ground, and according to the Pathfinders, they were barely even burned and clearly identifiable. So we know at least eight were clearly identifiable based upon sworn testimony from the Pathfinders, which totally contradicts the Pentagon's official story there were no identifiable remains. So, Tim, what gives? What gives? We have an inexplicable contradiction. Well, I say inexplicable. It may be explainable. But you know, that's why they wanted this report back after the cat got out of the bag. Now, here's the thing about cremation. You know, as I've stated and as it's covered in the book, when there was finally an investigation by the Congress, if you want to call it that, in February of 2014, where Congress
was a dog and pony show. Let's be honest about it. It was a dog and pony show.
It was. But Tim, they have consider the five military witnesses who were there. There was Mr. Reed, who was a political appointee. Then there was another civilian. So we had two civilians, a lady who is the civilian in charge of Pentagon mortuary affairs. Then you have three officers, one from the Navy, one from the Army, one from the Air Force, who each head up the mortuary affairs programs for those services. So you have Mr. Reed and four funeral experts, and yet not a single question about the status of the bodies from one single congressman. And the thing is that if you have cremation, then, Tim, what cremation does is it destroys DNA evidence. So if in fact the remains of the Afghans have been cremated, we will never know who they are based upon DNA. Even if it were true that there are no identifiable remains, you could still identify based upon dental records and based upon DNA examination. But once you cremate, the ball game's over. You cannot identify. So this is one of the big questions that still remains out there.
No, it is. And you also explained to me that in the autopsy, at least what of two bodies, there were bullet fragments in their bodies.
Right, more than just bullet fragments, bullets. But let me be clear. I was given access to three autopsies. We lost 30 Americans. So I had a very small sampling. And understand also, the autopsies were not part of the official military report. Therefore, the families would have had to have requested the autopsies. But three were the information from the three autopsies were supplied to me. And we'll get to that in a second.
Yeah. Stay with us on the other side of the break. You want to hear this because, again, this is more information that points to a cover-up. Stay with us.
As you listen to the show today, you're probably thinking, how can I be a part of changing culture and restoring this country for our posterity? Well, we at the Sons of Liberty have an answer for you. Pick up the phone and call radio stations in your hometown. Tell them you want to hear the Sons of Liberty on your AM and FM stations. Help us multiply the message that we deliver to the nation every day. And equip your community with the truth that is protecting our liberty for generations to come. Remember, we can do this together.
Are you tired of hearing nothing but gloom and doom from the mainstream media? It's time to turn the dial and start learning the truth of who you are so you know where you're going. That's why we at the Sons of Liberty are proud to introduce our new media outlet, sonsoflibertymedia.com. Every day, we're posting articles written by contributors from coast to coast who are actually in the fight in this culture war, bringing you the news and history the mainstream media does not want you to hear. sonsoflibertymedia.com. Get the news with resolve.
Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy. Have you ever wondered why farmers can keep their livestock lean and healthy just by feeding them minerals in a nutrient-dense diet? Before market, they cut off their minerals, leaving them to crave high-calorie grains to fatten them up. So if weight control is this easy, why does the medical system prescribe invasive surgical gastric bypass for humans? The truth be told, according to research, you can avoid over 900 different diseases just by getting 90 essential nutrients daily. Check us out on the web at sonsoflibertyteam.com and order your healthy start pack and get your 90 for life. Or dial 855-301-TEAM. I said essential, not optional, and every day. Easy. 90 for life on the web at sonsoflibertyteam.com or call 855-301-TEAM. That's 855-301-TEAM. At sonsoflibertyteam.com.
Are you tired of commuting to a job that makes someone else rich, working harder than ever, but getting nowhere? Do you hate spending hundreds of dollars every week on daycare, having someone else raise your children? With our opportunities, you can start earning money as soon as next week. You get to be the boss, work from home, and live a happier life. At Be The Boss Network, you'll find hundreds of work-from-home opportunities that you can literally start today and be earning money as soon as next week. Go to freedom106.com and start earning money as soon as next week. You get to be the boss. Get out of the rat race. Work from home. Go to freedom106.com right now and change your life today. That's freedom, the number 106.com. Go to freedom106.com and start earning money as soon as next week. You be the boss. Go to freedom106.com.
All right. Welcome back. Don Brown, author of Call Sign Extortion 17, The Shoot Down of SEAL Team 6, was just sharing with us that he had looked over three autopsies of Extortion 17 service members and had discovered that two of the bodies actually had bullets in them. Don, you want to pick that up again?
Sure, you bet. So, Tim, I was reading through the autopsies, and about page three or four, I include this in the book also, something jumps out at me that I'm thinking, whoa, what's this about? There's a notation by the military pathologist, again, in two of the three, that states, cook-off rounds found at autopsy, and I want you to focus on that phrase, at autopsy, and come back to it, but discarded as having no evidentiary value. So the first question is, what is a cook-off round? The second question is, what does at autopsy mean? Let me deal with the second question first. At autopsy, research, I'm not a doc, but I did research it, and I read some autopsy. At autopsy basically is a phrase, sort of a term of art used, which indicates in the body. So we know we have cook-off rounds found in the body and then thrown away. So then what is a cook-off round? Well, a cook-off round basically is a bullet. It's a bullet that basically has gone off as a result of heat, typically. Now, the thing to understand is, for any listeners who aren't familiar with how this works, if you were to take a box of ammunition, say a box of small round 22 or a box of something larger, 30-06 or a 30-30 or whatever, and if you were to take that box and put it into a fire, say a campfire or even an oven, and if it got hot enough, most people think, well, there'd be a big explosion, which would be harmful to people. But the fact of the matter is, and I'm saying this is a fact based upon studies done by the military itself, including the book, the fact of the matter is that if the gunpowder got hot enough to explode, as long as those bullets are not in a rifle, nothing typically happens. It is not harmful to the human body. Matter of fact, if you remember the old Rice Krispie commercial, snap, crackle, pop, that's basically what you have, Tim, because there'll be a pop, and if you know what a bullet looks like, there is the bullet, and then there's the casing. The bullet's what is the projectile that actually travels out the barrel of a gun, a rifle, or a pistol. The projectile is the casing. Excuse me. The casing, though, is the bottom part that holds the gunpowder. If the bullet cooked off, that casing would actually travel farther than the bullet because it's a lot lighter. But it's almost impossible for a cook-off round to enter into a body. They're innocuous. They're basically harmless. There is one exception to that, Tim. That would be if the bullet were in a rifle or a pistol, and you aimed that rifle at me, and then somebody else took a blowtorch under that rifle and heated it long enough for it to go off, then that cook-off round traveling out the barrel of the gun might penetrate the body. It might. But it has to be typically inside the gun and then aimed at the target for it to have enough force to enter the body. Now, part of the problem here, again, going back to the Pathfinder's sworn testimony, the Pathfinders testified they found the weapons, that they found the guy's weapons scattered all over the ground. They were apparently not even burned. When this chopper went down, it was about 100 to 150 feet off the deck. It did not fall very far. It was not in the air very long. There does not seem to have been a meaningful opportunity for those weapons to have gotten hot enough. And even if they got hot enough, they had to be aimed at the bodies for the cook-off rounds to enter the bodies.
Sure.
So I'm not saying that it did not happen, but I'm saying to me it seems very unlikely. And the second problem that I have with that is that why in the world would a pathologist make a decision to throw away a bullet immediately and call it, say that it is of no evidentiary value? That I don't think it's a pathologist's call. You don't throw away evidence of a crime scene. Even if you think that it's a cook-off round, and even if you think it's of no evidentiary value, you don't throw it away. And so this jumped out at me, and I'm thinking, why did this happen? Now, again, I'm not saying that I've got enough evidence to draw any conclusions of what might have happened on that chopper, but it is a big-time red flag in my judgment, Tim.
Yeah, it's an issue of asking the questions, and that's what the press is supposed to be doing, not only just reporting what we do know, but asking questions to further that reporting to get to the bottom of what's going on. And when you have bullets in the bodies of your soldiers who have been shot down with an RPG, that seems to be questionable. Okay, how did these guys get that? And if you, what you were saying about the cook-off rounds versus being in the barrel, I mean, the whole point of the barrel is to increase the velocity of the bullet from the force that's behind it in that small barrel. And second, because it's up against where your firing pin comes, so it has something to blow out from instead of just being laying there with no force behind it at all.
Right.
So yeah, it's a strange thing that somebody who does autopsies for a living would see that and say, oh, this is not relevant to what we're dealing with. But it's not just that. We go back to the issue of the cremation.
Right.
And this is not something that just, Michael Strange's father was talking about. This is something that Congressman Jason Chaffetz said. I think it was in 2013. He also said he saw the body and said it didn't look like it needed to be cremated either.
Right.
But
that was in July 2013, correct?
Yeah. And the thing is the Afghanis were also cremated. Isn't that correct?
Tim, we don't know definitely what happened to the Afghan bodies. And again, that's why it's, to me, it was absolutely inexcusable that not a single member of the Congress asked a question about any of that. I mean, it's disconcerting.
Well, yeah, and we were talking about the green on blue attacks. We know the Taliban, 25% or so are infiltrating into the Afghanis, and we don't know who they are.
I do an analysis in a section of this in the book that the retiring ambassador, our former ambassador to Afghanistan, Ambassador Crocker, who retired in 2012, had also been ambassador to Iraq And he gave a speech shortly after he retired to the Carnegie Institute in New York about the troubling problem of green on blue. As a matter of fact, he said the green on blue problem, that is where Afghan military, supposing to be our allies, attacks our guys. He used the word troubling. He also said and used this word that it had become easy. Easy was the word that he used for the Taliban to infiltrate the Afghan military. And Ambassador Crocker, Ryan Crocker, September 2012, also said that the Taliban had developed a niche for infiltrating the Afghan military and launching these green-on-blue attacks, which goes back, even if this chopper were not infiltrated, it goes back to the questionable judgment of putting Afghans on board United States military choppers when they're committed to a philosophy that is an anathema to the United States Constitution to begin with. But at any rate, it's troubling that these guys are put on choppers. And then when you begin to see, you know, why is the chopper delayed? You know, why were the bullets thrown out of the body here? You know, what happened to the bodies? You know, it appears they were cremated. It does appear that they're cremated, at least some of them, Tim, because of the comment made by Congressman Chavisson in July 2011 when he said the body I saw did not need to be cremated. He made that comment, Congressman Chavisson made that comment, to Bob Cusack, a reporter for The Hill, in July 2013. Why would the Congressman make a statement like that? He's clearly implying that they were cremated. And then why were there no questions about what happened to the bodies at the congressional hearing of February 2014. These questions need to be answered. The public deserves a right to know.
Oh, I agree. I agree. And we're going to be coming up on a break in just a little bit, but let's go ahead and start into this one. We're going to cover at least two more topics. This one, though, is one of the first articles I wrote on this week. We touched on it Monday. And that is that many Americans do not realize that the Afghans have an eyes on every special operations we do over there. And that's even more troubling because that means pretty much every mission that we have special operations, we have potential people who are going to stab us in the back. Can you speak to that?
That is one of the biggest bombshells that was revealed in this investigation. And when I began to review the investigation, it was one of the biggest bombshells. You're exactly right. They have eyes on everything. I mean, and there's sworn testimony to that fact in this 1,250-page report, which we report in the book. And again, most Americans don't have a clue about it. Here we have a nation that we've conquered, and yet we're giving them, you know, ultimate authority and power and all top secret information on what we're doing. So to me, it's crazy planning.
Well, it really is, and it's almost treason as far as I'm concerned on the administration's part. But we'll touch on that. We'll see you on the other side. Stay with us.
Thank you, brother.
Is negative content or comments on the web affecting your personal or professional reputation? Unfavorable comments, embarrassing pictures, videos, legal documents, and bad tweets can ruin your personal life, your career, or your business. It happens a lot, and it's just not fair. But what can you do? Reputation.com can protect your good name. Get a free consultation now at 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Call right now for a free expert reputation analysis. It's easy to squash the unfair attacks with our patented system, and the analysis is absolutely free. Make the best things about you jump out in searches. Protect your personal and professional reputation, your business, and your income. Get your free reputation analysis from Reputation.com right now. Call 800-831-0771. 800-831-0771. 800-831-0771.
The nation's largest independently owned and operated talk radio network. The Genesis Communications Network. GCN.
On the average, Americans work between 45 to 50 years, hoping to build up enough wealth to retire and live out their golden years. Unfortunately, with taxation, the rising cost of food, energy, housing, and medical, many retirees are forced to live below the poverty line. Is this a flaw for enterprise, or is our monetary unit we call the Federal Reserve Note forcing us into perpetual debt, ensuring inflation and higher taxes? These questions and more can be answered by reading G. Edward Griffin's book, The Creature from Jekyll Island. Congressman Ron Paul states, "It's what every American needs to know about central bank power. A gripping adventure into the secret world of international banking cartel." Hi, this is Ted Anderson. I will give a silver dollar from the early 1900s to anyone who purchases this book. Call 1-800-686-2237 and order a copy today. It's critical that the public be made aware of the system. Call and order your copy today at 1-800-686-2237. That's 1-800-686-2237.
All loans subject to one debt score approval, must be business at least 1 year to apply.
Attention, small business owners needing financing. Are you too busy running your business to deal with the slow lending process of your bank? Are you frustrated at the paperwork and delays just trying to get a decision? Then you need OnDeck, the A-plus Better Business Bureau rated small business experts, where our simple application process takes as little as 10 minutes and funding could be available in just one business day. At OnDeck, we focus on your business operation and cash flow, not just your personal credit score. And we're ready to help with loans of up to $250,000. True business loans, not credit card advances. OnDeck provides financing to a wide variety of small businesses like restaurants, plumbing, landscaping, freight trucking, and healthcare providers. If you're frustrated with the paperwork and long decision times of traditional lenders, contact OnDeck. Funding could be available in just one business day. OnDeck is publicly listed on the New York Stock Exchange and has provided over $2 billion to small businesses like yours. So go to OnDeckLending.com today or call 800-293-6819. That's 800-293-6819.
It's very easy to be a criminal. All you need to burglarize a home is one simple household tool, a pair of scissors. If your home security system can be compromised by a criminal using scissors, then you're making it easy for them. Almost every home security system, even those sold by big-name companies, has a weakness: the phone line. You shell out $1,500, get locked into a long-term contract, and think you're safe. But a burglar can destroy your alarm in seconds with one snip. And when a burglar cuts your phone line, you're defenseless. Simply Safe Home Security is the smarter choice. Built by Harvard engineers, Simply Safe uses a wireless connection to call the cops. Scissors can't cut it. And that means your home stays safe. 24/7 professional monitoring is under $15 a month with no contract. Simply Safe Home Security keeps you safer than the other guys for half the cost. Protect your home with the alarm you can trust. Simply Safe. Go to SimplySafeDefense.com now for an exclusive 10% offer. That's SimplySafeDefense.com.
Welcome back. We've got Don Brown, author of Call Sign Extortion 17, The Shoot Down of SEAL Team 6 on the line. And when we went to break, we were talking about the fact that through Extortion 17, through the evidence that's come out in written testimony and other things, we've discovered that the Afghans actually have not only all eyes on our special operations over in Afghanistan, but in many cases they have command over it. They can squash those operations. Before I let Don talk, one of those testimonies was found. He was mentioning J3 earlier. There's a testimony in Exhibit 1 that where this was discovered. The TFJ3 was asked, so they have visibility on every operation. This is the Afghans. Every operation. That was his answer. And they knew about the operations. Oh, yeah. And they were briefed on it. So they have the ability to do, do they have approval or authority on that to cancel an operation? And the J3 says, technically they do. They don't exercise it, but technically they do have the authority. And then he's asked, so they either task or approve the operation? Yep. So again, another critical enabler as we move more towards Afghanization, as we move towards empowering Afghans, it will be a critical player as well, and we have that we're figuring. Those two units, as well as the task force, those are our primary concerns with transition forward. And this is the alarming thing, that U.S. troops, a lot of people talk about them being put under U.N. control. Here, the Afghans basically have a lot of control over what happens with our special forces. Is that not correct?
We cede control to them. And as I pointed out in the book, here we have a nation that we conquered. We go in 2001 for the purposes of, you know, destroying the Taliban. We basically set up a puppet government, you know, install a puppet president, Hamid Karzai. And as time goes on, even though we remain as an occupying power, with all the military force and power to do whatever we need to do to them, we basically start turning over control to the Afghans in a situation where there's a volatile history of green-on-blue violence. And you've just read the excerpts from the testimony, which indicates that they've got actually veto power over every mission, even if they don't exercise that power. You know,
right.
It's interesting. You know, do you know who first reported this shoot down? I know you know. That's a rhetorical question because, Tim, I know you know. Your audience may not know. This shoot down was first reported by the president of Afghanistan, Hamid Karzai, not even by the United States government. What's up with that? And the other thing, Tim, is this, and I point this out in the book as well, but the British press and also the French press, as I pointed out in the op-ed that I wrote in the New York Post a couple of weeks ago, there were at least three media outlets, two British and one French, which reported that the Afghan government had said that the Taliban was tipped off on this flight, okay?
Mm.
Now, there is not a single question in the official military investigation that has been declassified which seeks to either confirm or deny whether or not the Taliban have been tipped. They just leave it alone. Don't talk about it. Don't touch it. At the congressional dog and pony show, as you and I both referred to it as, in February of 2014, again, not a single question. Nobody said, Mr. Reed, we've seen reports in the UK Daily Mail and UK Daily News, UK Mail, that the Taliban was tipped. We've seen French reports the Taliban was tipped. Was the Taliban tipped? And if not, why are these European press, outlets getting information from the Afghan government? Nobody asked, Mr. Reed, do we follow up with the Afghan government? Remember, it was the Afghan government, President Karzai, that announced this shoot down before we ever did. It's just very, very odd.
Well, and he's buddy-buddy with the Taliban now, and that's part of the thing where Obama has stepped in and said, yeah, we'll work with these guys. Well, these were the guys we were going to off. I mean, we were going to kick them out.
Right.
And
right.
As we mentioned on Monday, I mean, it was just, I think it was about 2 years ago when, you know, all this talk about Al-Qaeda's on the run and the Taliban is no more and this, that, and the other. It was right around that time that the U.S. Troops suffered the greatest destruction of, I think it was helicopters there. I believe it was helicopters. I don't have my article pulled up. But it was the greatest loss of air power that America has seen since Vietnam.
Right, right.
And that was hard. That was, I mean, no, it got reported, but it was sort of buried in the bottom.
Right.
And yet the deception continues on and on, and it continually puts, this is the thing we want people to come away with. It continually puts those who have sworn to defend the Constitution from foreign and domestic enemies, and they're going and putting their lives on, it continually puts them in more danger because of the actions of their commander-in-chief. I call him the usurper-in-chief.
There you go. Listen, here's the deal. If you think over time, as we continue to remain in Afghanistan and are still there and continue, as you pointed out earlier, to actually step up special operations, attacks. These special operators, these SEALs and Rangers, were devastatingly effective. But we also announced we're going to be pulling out. Karzai wants to maintain his power. So, and I cover this in the book, but he begins negotiating with the Taliban.
Yep.
You know, our appointed puppet that we put as an appointed puppet president in Afghanistan is now, in 2005, 6, 7, 8, 9, negotiating with the Taliban because he wants to form a coalition with them, knowing that he will need them when we step out. So he's negotiating with our mortal enemy, and yet he's supposed to be our ally, number one. Number two, he was complaining. Once Special Operations Forces were stepped up. He was complaining because we were killing Taliban. I mean, he called. He was complaining against our forces accidentally killing civilians. That's going to happen in war. But the problem was we were killing the Taliban. So he wanted Special Forces out and was demanding them out. He wanted them out of this Wardak province. Our so-called ally, who was put in as a puppet, is now demanding Special Forces to get out, and he's the guy that announced the shoot down of this. And the Brits and the French say that his government reported the Taliban was tipped. I think they were tipped. And it's really inexcusable that our investigators have not followed up on whether they were tipped or not. I suppose perhaps it may have been politically embarrassing or something, but they just haven't followed up on it. It needs to be followed up on.
Yeah, no, I agree. As a matter of fact, during the top of the hour break, Bradley had messaged me, and he goes, I believe it was a trade-off, something for the, he didn't specify, but I'm assuming it's for the killing or the alleged killing of Osama bin Laden.
Right. Well, we don't know, but here's the thing. When you look at the entire record, it does appear that this whole planning of this mission was executed so poorly from start to finish, from the lack of pre-suppression fire when the AC-130 asked for it, to shifting and changing stories about the black box, to odd delays in the sky. It almost looks like somebody pulled their hands back and said, have at it. It isn't just one thing. It's a lot of things which sort of go together. It almost looks like tilting was sacrificed. We don't want to believe that. I hope that's not the case, but the record is absolutely atrocious, and somebody should have to answer for it.
No, I completely agree, and let's keep in mind, this Tangier River Valley had been cleaned out of these jihadists, 6, 7, 8, 9 times, and they couldn't keep it. They weren't allowed to keep it clear. This was not the first mission in that area, and you're right. Now, once they're shot down, the guys who see the shoot down witness where the guys are at, who shoot them down. They see them there. They see them climbing off the top of the building, and they request to take them out, and yet they're denied that because there, quote-unquote, might be friendlies in the building. Well, the obvious question is, if there are friendlies in the building, how friendly are they to let the guys on top of their building to take out friendly?
Right.
They're supposed to be friends.
Let me take just a moment to correct something about the record.
Okay, sure.
There is a group called the Joint Combat Assessment Team, which is working under General Colt, trying to figure out what went wrong. The Joint Combat Assessment Team reports that no one saw the point of origin for this RPG. No one saw it. Reed later claimed that it was fired from a building 220 meters away. But the fact of the matter is, the AC-130 did not see the point of origin. No one saw the point of origin. No one could specifically identify the point of origin because it happened so fast. This hole, it was shot from a Quallah hut 220 meters away. I believe there's a method to that madness. Because if it were truly shot from the Quallah hut 220 meters away, it would have been outside the landing zone. However, the RPG-7, which is originally a Russian-made RPG-7, according to their own report, has a maximum effective range of only 170 meters.
Mm.
The Quallah hut is outside the effective range of the RPG. Tim, this was a point-blank shot, and we go into the mathematics of it in the book. But the chopper was only 150 feet off the deck, and if you remember your geometry, based upon the angle of strike onto the back rotor blade, we know that the shooter was on top of the chopper. It was not, in my opinion. I don't believe this story. It's not almost mathematically impossible for that to have been true.
Well, in any case, they did ask to fire, right? They did ask for retaliation in some manner.
Well, let me tell you what happened. First off, the AC-130 asked for pre-suppression fire. They want to blast the landing zone because they see they see Taliban moving there. Permission denied. Then Extortion 17 gets shot down. As soon as Extortion 17 gets shot down, Tim, one of those Apaches, remember there are two attack helicopters in the air with it. One of those Apaches says, "The heck with this, I'm firing," and they unload. Bam, 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 bam. Fires into the area out of gut instinct. Now, let me tell you, he was chastised for that. He was chastised for having done
hang
that
on
the
hang record. On to the break. Hang on to the break, and we'll let you continue on the other side.
You bet. Thanks.
At the Sons of Liberty, we are in the trenches every day, doing what it takes to protect our liberty. If you are already supporting our work as a son or daughter of liberty, we cannot say thank you enough. All we do is made possible by the generosity of faithful supporters like you. Together, we are having a positive impact on the future of this country we all love so much. If you have not yet partnered with us financially, we ask you today to consider becoming a son or daughter of liberty. Call 1-866-233-0747 or online at sonsoflibertyradio.com. Be a part of the team that brings responses like this.
This is Richard Mass, attorney with Liberty Counsel. Bradley Dean and Sons of Liberty Radio are on the front lines of our culture war, and I am proud to call them brothers in arms. What America needs now is more people telling the truth, regardless of the cost. Bradley is one of those people.
Become a son or daughter of liberty at sonsoflibertyradio.com.
Did you know that drinking pure, high-alkaline water is one of the most important factors in maintaining high energy and vibrant health? Most experts agree that the water you drink should be at a pH level of 8 or higher. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops, available only at AlkaVision.com, combine a unique formula of only the most alkaline minerals. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops alkalize your water, ridding the body of harmful toxins, and helps you regain health and energy. Alkalizing your water by simply adding 10 drops of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops helps the body rid itself of acidic waste, increases oxygen content, and raises the pH of your body to healthy levels. And bacteria and viruses cannot survive in an alkaline high pH environment. Order your bottle of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops for only $29.95 at AlkaVision.com. That's A-L-K-A-Vision.com. Or call 269-409-1776. 269-409-1776. Alkalize your body. Supercharge your health at AlkaVision.com today.
We the people grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit and carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Ted Anderson, I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains our monetary system. Call for your copy at 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
If you owe $10,000 or more to the IRS or state in back taxes, you know they'll never stop coming after you. With bank levies, wage garnishments, they'll even seize your home or business. The good news? A government program for tax debt forgiveness. It's called the Fresh Start Initiative.
I'm Paul Sibley with U.S. Tax Shield. We can help navigate the new laws, get you protected, and resolve your tax issues permanently.
Call the experts at U.S. Tax Shield now for your free consultation and get a guaranteed quote to resolve your case. Call 800-436-6451. That's 800-436-6451.
Welcome back. Final segment with Don Brown. Don, you were finishing up a thought on what took place immediately following the shootdown of Extortion 17. You want to finish that up, and then let's talk black box in the last 10 or 12 minutes that we have.
One of the Apaches instinctively, after the Extortion 17 chopper was shot down, fired into an area near the landing zone. And when that happened, I read the testimony. He was the chopper pilot was basically raked over the coals by General Colt, asking, "Why'd you do that? How do you know who was down there? Do you know that there was enemy there?" Et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Basically, raked over the coals for instinctively firing in the landing zone after the shoot down. Those guys were afraid to fire landing zone. Even though they fire after the shoot down, they were raked over the coals for inexcusable.
Sure. All right, last thing we're going to do, and there's many other things in the book that people can pick up, and they can get that at donbrownbooks.com, call sign Extortion 17, the shootdown of SEAL Team 6. The final thing we want to look at today is this issue of black box. During this congressional testimony in February of 2014, we were told there was no black box. Now, this is from Mr. Reed. And he was claiming this, and yet you can go online and you can discover that these Chinooks can be equipped with black boxes, even if they're we're told because they're analog, they can be equipped with that. But we know they can. What do you have to say about that?
Well, Mr. Reed's position taken on in February of 2014 was about the third contradictory position we'd heard on the status of the black box. First off, as I said a moment ago, U.S. Army Pathfinders testified they went in to the crash site and were told a team of about 20 Pathfinders go find the black box. They're told to go find it. They spent 2 days looking for it. They were looking everywhere for it, you know. And then there was sworn testimony from the Pathfinder platoon leader that this was the first time we could never find a black box. And so, you know, they're ordered to find, to go look for it. We also know from research, independent research, that at the time that Extortion 17 went down, that half the choppers that we'd lost in Afghanistan, approximately 13 of 26, were Chinook CH-47Ds. So we know we sent a team in looking for the black box. A month later, when the family members met with General Colt in Little Creek, October 2011, the military story was the black box washed away in the flood. So we have Pathfinders looking for it. They're telling family members the black box washed away in a flood. And then, you know, almost 3 years later, in 2014, we hear this there was never a black box to begin with story. And now, most experienced military pilots I've talked to think it's a bunch of bunk. I tend to believe that something happened to the black box and it was removed. But we do know that analog choppers certainly can have black boxes. So the story given by Mr. Reed does not comport with aviation reality. The black box, by the way, would give us a lot of clues as to what happened in the sky, Tim, and I think that's probably why it's not available.
Sure. Well, not only that, but I believe that during my interview with you, not Monday, but the one that we had privately the week before, you were indicating that you had been able to speak with the actual pilot who flew the very Chinook that was shot down. He flew it down to Florida to be traveled over to send over overseas. Is that not correct? Wasn't the one in 2006 or something?
Mr. Vaughn, Billy Vaughn, reports to me that he was contacted by a warrant officer, an Army pilot, who reports that that warrant officer accompanied this helicopter to Savannah, where it was put on a ship to be taken to Afghanistan, and according to the warrant, based on what Mr. Vaughn has told me, that there was a black box on board the chopper at the time that the chopper was put on a ship.
Yeah, it was Vaughn. I'm hearing both of you guys in the same week, so forgive me of that. But,
all right.
But yeah, I mean, he had obviously got a hold of the guy, or the guy had got a hold of him to tell him that he had actually been the one to pilot that down, and it even verified that with, I guess he had a co-pilot at the time, and they flew it down down to Savannah, as you said. I thought it was Florida, but to send it overseas. So that was part of the thing there. The other thing is claiming that it washes away in a flood while you've got guys out looking for it. That seems a little strange to me. Can you help me understand that?
Well, first off, it's ridiculous to think that a black box will be lost in a flood. We know we've recovered black boxes in 2,000 feet of water. They have low emission pings. There was a flash flood. I mean, this is a low-lying area, and there was a flash flood that did come through. But to suggest that you wouldn't be able to find it based upon the electronic emission, even if that had been the case, is just beyond ridiculous. But the point of the matter is, Tim, it's a changing story, switching stories, and not a single member of Congress said, Mr. Reed, why did the family members told it was washed away in a flood? Not a single family member member of the Congress asked Mr. Reed. Didn't say, Mr. Reed, why did we send a Pathfinder team in to spend 2 days looking for a black box that wasn't there to begin with? Not a single question was asked, and that's inexcusable.
No, I agree. And again, it points to more of a cover-up. Something went on there. And just like all of these scandals that the Obama administration has been involved in, there's a lot of smoke there. There's got to be a spark. There's got to be some fire somewhere. And I guess our job is to smoke it out.
One of the many tragic things about
the people
this.
And make them demand answers.
Well, one of the many tragic things about this, Tim, is that as bad as Benghazi was, we lost four Americans, including an ambassador. Here in Extortion 17, we lost 30.
Yep.
30 of the very best this country has to offer. 30 men who were putting their lives on the line for their country. And yet, if you ask most Americans what's Extortion 17, they look at you, you know, with a glaze in their eyes. And it has been, the cover-up, it's been with the press as much as anything else. And I really appreciate what you and Bradley are doing to help try to get the word out. You're patriotic Americans, and I'm very grateful for it.
Well, we're happy to have you on, and thank you for the knowledge that you've given on this issue. And we're going to keep putting it out there. I know some other – I've got some friends who are going to try to have you on the radio, going to continue to promote your book and also do some articles based on the work you've done and hopefully, you know, make people aware of what's going on. And I'm hopeful that they'll start demanding answers of these people, putting the pressure on them like they have these other things. But, Don, thank you for joining us today. And I want to round out the show here in a little bit, but I just want to thank you for your time and for your service and just everything you're doing to expose what's going on here with Extortion 17.
Thank you, Tim. God bless, and we'll talk soon.
Okay, brother. Take care.
All right. Bye-bye.
That's Don Brown. He is Lieutenant Commander and author of Call Sign Extortion 17, The Shoot Down of SEAL Team 6. If you want to get your whistle wetted for this book, head over to sonsoflibertymedia.com, scroll down a little bit on the right, and there's a search box there. Just put in Extortion 17. You'll not only read some of the articles that I've written, but you'll also be able to hear from parents Billy and Karen Vaughn. They have some articles they've contributed there as well, pointing out some of the problems that our men in uniform are facing as a result of the current administration and them failing to look out for our sons and daughters overseas. I hope you'll do that. Above all, I hope you'll pray for them, that God's hand would protect them. It's like I was saying earlier, it's bad enough when the enemy is in front of you. But when the enemy is wearing your jersey and he's claiming to be your commander-in-chief, and then he stabs you in the back over and over and over and over and over again, and he is fighting against the very document that these guys swear an oath to uphold and defend, not only against those guys in Afghanistan and the Middle East, the Islamic jihadists, but also against these domestic terrorists, these communists, these Marxists, these Islamists who are in our federal government, who hate the God of the Bible, they hate the Lord Jesus Christ. That should infuriate every American, especially our veterans, those who have over the years laid their lives on the line to fight the very ideology that now sits in the White House. That should infuriate every American. And talking with the veterans here recently at a couple of the Concerned Veterans for America events, I'm convinced these guys know what it is. When these guys go over there to fight, they're looking out for one another, and they realize that a lot of this is political, and our men and women are just fighting to get back and to bring each other home. So let's pray for them. Let's also put the pressure on our politicians. You hear about Extortion 17. Get knowledgeable on it. Pick up Don's book, donbrownbooks.com, call sign Extortion 17, The Shoot Down of SEAL Team 6. Pick it up. Inform your friends. Talk to them about it. And get on the horn. Look, if you know, there's an old saying, the squeaky wheel gets the grease, okay? If you squeak loud enough, the elected officials pay attention. You say, well, I've been writing, I've been calling. Get your friends together. Do it on one day. Make it a big deal. 30, 40, 50 people call into one congressman in one day about this issue. They can put the pressure on to where they're going to squeak, and they're going to get some answers to it. And we've seen that with at least they got a congressional hearing. We didn't get answers, but we got a hearing. We can do more. We'll talk to you on Monday. God bless you. Have a great Lord's Day tomorrow. 1 John 3:18. Love you by what we do. Take care.
Are your Google search results killing you? Unflattering content in blogs, news articles, online reviews, social media, or other sources can jeopardize your reputation, your business, and your livelihood. Let Reputation.com help. Our patented technology will make the truth about you more visible while pushing down unwanted negative content. Improve your Google search results. Call Reputation.com at 1-800-831-0771 for a free consultation. That's 800-831-0771.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson, Adam Pulaski of the Pulaski Law Firm with principal office in Houston, Texas, is the attorney responsible for the content of this ad. This ad is not legal advice, and the choice of a lawyer should not be based solely upon advertisement. Services may not be available in all states.
Attention Xarelto users. If you or a loved one took Xarelto and suffered a serious bleeding event, you may be entitled to financial compensation. Xarelto is a popular prescription blood thinner used to prevent blood clots and protect patients from strokes. These serious bleeding events have led to numerous cases of hospitalization and even death. Phone lines are open 24/7. Call 800-261-0937. That's 800-261-0937.